draw your attention tonight, if the Lord would be our helper, to the third chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. If you have your scriptures and desire to read along with us, Luke chapter 3, if I read to you beginning with the third verse of Luke chapter 3, God's word reads, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." If you look down in verse 18 of the same chapter, in the same context of the verse that I just read to you in regards to the preaching, this he in this verse is, of course, John the Baptist. Verse 18 reads, "And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." I suppose that all of us tonight have a phrase or a saying that we can remember a loved one by in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Can remember as a child, all my grandparents have gone on to be with the Lord, but there are certain sayings that I remember from a child that I really hope I never forget, that I can remember my grandparents saying. My daddy's daddy, anytime he saw you eating anything that seemed to be more available than what you may need, he'd always say, "You eat too much of that, you're going to be sick." I can remember standing at the grapevine behind my mom and daddy's house, and you tell a youngin' standing before a grapevine full of grapes, if he eats too many of them, it's going to make him sick. Watch how much he's concerned about that as a youngin' when he's got that grape, his mouth full of grapes. But I can remember him saying, I can remember my grandma telling us whenever we'd eat raw cookie dough out of the refrigerator, it'd give us worms if we ate it. I haven't confirmed that. I have no idea if it's true, but to this day, every time I eat a scoop of it and it ain't cooked, it crosses my mind that it may do what she says it'll do. You know, I've often thought, and my family probably hears me try to speak to the Lord's people more than anybody does, that if there's something that they'd remember that I told before the Lord's people, and I want for them to remember, of course, the things that I told and tried to tell about our Savior. But I want them to remember one thing about their daddy, and that is that his desire was not to preach anything that had not been preached before. And whenever I say that it hasn't been preached before, it doesn't mean that I mind preaching something that you may not have heard. It doesn't mean that I may not, that I mind preaching something from a different angle that makes you think a little bit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trying to preach something new among the people of God. You believe the people of God need something new today, or do you believe we need to be more established in the things of old? What do you believe are better? I believe we need to be more established in the things of old. And whenever we stand before the Lord's people, it's my desire to remind them of those things that have been spoken time and time again, that the Lord has blessed men to stand before the people of God, to speak glorifying things about Him, to edify them. And whenever I read here about the preaching of the man John the Baptist, and make no mistake about it, the Bible verses that I've just read to you tell us what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist came preaching, and John the Baptist preached. And if we're going to make sure that we preach something that's been preached before, what a better place to go than to a place that records and tells us exactly what John the Baptist preached. I don't believe you can go wrong from the standpoint of saying that it hadn't been preached before. It's at least been preached one time before. And if the Lord has ever blessed me to be able to hear preaching, I believe I've heard men speak these things that John the Baptist spoke of, and that they preached them before me. And I believe that the things that we believe and preach today, I believe they've been preached since the constitution of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ for the last 2,000 years, and it's the foundational things that the Church is built upon. And those are these things that we need to hear over and over and over again. I believe in salvation through preaching, don't you? I believe that there's a salvation in preaching. The Bible tells us that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I believe that those that heard John the Baptist preach, I believe they felt something in their soul. I believe it touched them in a place that just words can't touch. Preaching is just words, but preaching's not just words. You understand that? Preaching's just words, but it's not just words. You know, some people will, you know, you can't say that to everybody and them understand what you're talking about. You know, when we talk about the house of God being a building, the house of God is just a building, but it ain't just a building, is it? It's a place that's precious to us. It's a Bethel spot. It's a place where we felt nigh unto the Lord. Well, the scripture here tells us that John the Baptist came forth preaching. And if the Lord will be with us for just a few minutes tonight, I'm not going to stand before you very long. And there's several verses that are on my mind. But if the Lord keeps us in just one, we'll stay in one. If He tells us to quit after just a few minutes, we'll try to be mindful to follow in His direction. But I want to look at some things that John the Baptist preached. I want to look at some things that he established in his preaching. Because I believe the things that he established then that were coming came. Some things have come. Some things are yet still to come. And I believe the truths that he preached then are still true today. I believe the things that are true during John the Baptist's day are still true today, and they'll be true all the way into glory. The truth's not going to change because of time. The truth is what is true now will be true forevermore. And the things that he spoke unto them were truth. The first thing that we see about the ministry of John the Baptist here in these verses, in the verses following the ones that I've read to you, is we see that John the Baptist established in his preaching what the purpose of him being there in preaching was. You believe that's important for us to understand the purpose of preaching? The purpose of preaching. You know, it's easy maybe to us, whenever we think about it tonight. Well, sure, Brother Will. We know what the purpose of preaching is. How many people throughout this world, and I believe how many children of God, let me say that, throughout this world, don't understand what the purpose of preaching is? I believe there's a lot of people that don't, and I don't say that to knock them. Some people say that whenever you mention something that somebody may be wrong about, that you're being ugly. I'm not. No, I'm not. And if I come across that way, you forgive me for it. I'm just reminding us sometimes of a different angle that someone may see something. Well, I tell you here, whenever we see what John the Baptist preached, we see that he established the purpose of him being sent there. And whenever we see the prophecy regarding John the Baptist, whenever we see the very words that he spoke, what we see is that the Lord sent him to be a forerunner of the one that was coming behind him. That whenever we see that the Lord sent him for a purpose, I believe that just as the Lord sent John the Baptist for a purpose, and we see that John the Baptist was a man, but he was a man sent from God. And whenever we see that there was a purpose in the preaching of John the Baptist, make no mistake about it, I believe that the purpose that was for the preaching of John the Baptist, it still continues down to this day. The scripture tells us, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance and remission of sins. And he went back into the Old Testament, and he quoted unto them, said, as it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist, whenever he came crying in the wilderness, when he came and said that the Lord has sent me for a purpose. The Lord sent me to the wilderness. The Lord sent me to a place that maybe was not populated with a lot of people. It meant that someone had to come out from where there was population and come unto me to be able to hear the things that the Lord has given me. But what he told me to preach and what he told me to say was to prepare you the way of the Lord and to make his path straight. You believe that you have to help Jesus with something today? You believe that Jesus needs your help with anything? You remember in the days of the Acts of the Apostles, the book of Acts puts it this way. I believe it's in chapter 11, verse 25, but don't hold me to the exact verse. It says, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as if he needed anything. And that's speaking about the Lord. Whenever it comes to our service to the Lord, make no mistake about it, the Lord is not beckoning and telling us to do anything because the Lord is in need of us. But I want to tell you, whenever it comes to a purpose of the ministry of John the Baptist, it wasn't that Jesus needed him to make Jesus' path straight. What he needed to do was clear some brush out of the ways of the hearts of the children of God so that the Lord could have a direct access whenever he came on the scene and that they would be looking indeed for the Messiah that he was sent as a forerunner before. It wasn't because the Lord needed him. It's because the people needed him. And I want to tell you, whenever it comes to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, even to this day, make no mistake about it, whenever it comes to what the Lord is capable of doing, the Lord is capable of preaching his gospel himself. He's capable of connecting and communicating and speaking to those that stand in need of him. But he gave preaching in this world because the people of God needed it in order to be able to have fellowship with the Lord. They would clear some things out of the way. Make his path straight. You know, whenever it comes to making some paths straight, I don't know about you, but I may have some things in my life that may interfere with my fellowship with the Lord. Am I the only one that has some things in my mind and in my heart that need to be removed, that I need to repent from before the remission of sins, to remove them from myself so that the Lord can come and that I can feel that I'm in the throne room and feel nigh unto him? I want to tell you, whenever I'm blessed to be able to hear the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, some just makes me feel close to the Lord. Some just makes me feel like he's close by my side. Some makes me feel like he's guiding me. Some makes me feel like that he has a reason for sending a man to preach to me tonight. And it ain't about me. I want to tell you, you know, I went to a meeting down in the area where we live a few months ago. And, you know, sometimes whenever a man is burdened to preach on some matters of duty, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't set real well with everybody. but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things in this book that we need to hear, that we need to be doing now. We don't need to take that mindset. We don't need to hear that. And I tell you, the man that was called upon to preach, he said before he got started, he said, this is not a sermon that you hear a lot of times at a fellowship meeting. He had some things on his mind that we need to be mindful of, be able to be mindful of, and be in attendance of. And I, you know, began to look at the face of the deacons whenever he was preaching. I began to see tears in their eyes of how thankful they were that a man would speak of those things that need to be spoken of. You know, I joke, because I preach after him, I joke that I heard the shuffling of the feet in the amen corner over there because the preaching got all over the toes of the men that were seated over there that night. Because, you know, and it wasn't just them, it was me. We needed to hear those things. And what he spoke upon is to be not hearers of the word, but be doers as well. And I want to tell you, if we're bearers of the truth in this world, and I believe with every ounce of my being that the bearers of the truth are among the people known as the primitive Baptists, and if that's what we are, surely there ought to be a people that's walking according to the truth that the Lord has given us. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist established his purpose of his ministry. And I don't mind telling you today. I don't mind telling you today the reason why I try to stand before the Lord's people and try to encourage them with every ounce of my being. I don't mind telling you what my purpose is. And it's not that I'm trying to come to you like some kind of salesman. I just don't mind telling you that with every ounce of my being, if I can convince you that Jesus is the Christ, and that he has done all things necessary for you to have a home in heaven with him, if I can convince you of it, I'll wear myself out doing it so that you can rejoice in the things that the Lord has done for you. That purpose is still here today. The purpose of preaching is still here. You don't let this world tell you that there's no reason for that foolishness called preaching. There's no purpose behind it. And somebody told me one day, I don't get anything out of preaching. I just go to Sunday school and go home. I'm going to tell you what, if that's all I had, I'd stay home. If that's all I had, I wouldn't come. But I tell you what, the Lord can bless us to do is be in the midst. And whenever we talk about the preaching of the gospel, we're not talking about what we want to hear. We're talking about what the Lord would have us to hear. And that purpose is still around today. It's a miracle. The Bible tells us that John the Baptist, even though he had baptized the Lord Jesus Christ and had seen the Spirit of God descend upon him like a dove, and heard his voice saying, but this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Whenever he came under persecution, he questioned even if Jesus was the Christ. And whenever the Lord sent his messengers back to him, he reminded him of some miracles that he had done in their midst, that the blind had received their sight, that the lame walked, and that the deaf hear, and that the poor had the gospel preached unto them. It is a miracle whenever the Lord moves a man to speak the things that we need to hear. And I want to tell you, that purpose is still around today. Scripture tells us that after he ascended up on high, he gave gifts unto men. And whenever I read that he gave gifts unto men, the more I read that, the more I believe that he didn't give the gift unto the man. He gifted the man so that the gift will be given unto his people, because he loves his people and he desires for them to hear the truth about him and to be able to walk with him. And I want to tell you, that gift is still around today, and he gave it for the work of the ministry, for the perfection of the saints, for the edification of the body of Christ, that we may be filled up in the Lord, and that's what it means to be edified, and that preaching is still, there's still purpose-filled preaching in this world today. I'm going to tell you, you need to pray for the ministers among our people today, that they will stand boldly and declare what this book says, because I'm going to tell you, the further and further this world gets away from this book, the less and less they're going to like it. And the more and more courage the man's going to have to have to stand and preach what this book says. You believe this book doesn't tell us about sins that are going on in this world today that we need to be mindful of or wrong? And some people will hear me say these things and say, Brother Will, you're being, I'm not being political a bit. Whenever we speak about the killing of an unborn child, and we speak about the shedding of innocent blood, have we not read in Proverbs chapter 6 where the scripture says that the Lord, that he hateth these things, that he despises certain things such as shedding of blood? And whenever we speak about sins like that, a lot of people are saying that you're speaking politically. No, I'm not. I'm speaking the Word of God, and it needs to be preached today. Whenever we speak about the sins of sodomy and the things that go on whenever the Lord sent his judgment upon a land. And you know, I saw a special one day. I was watching a special on the History Channel. And that special on the History Channel said that the sin of the land of Sodom were that these people were not hospitable. And I thought to myself, boy, I'll tell you what. I hope I never get to the point where I have to duck and dodge the truth like they are in this program here. I believe I'd quit before I did that. But I'm going to tell you, whenever we see those certain things be approved of in this day, I'm going to tell you the purpose of preaching is to remind the people of God that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a pillar and ground of truth. And it doesn't mean that we determine what truth is. God gave us truth in his word. He determined what truth is, but he expects us to hold it up. He expects us, whenever everybody else won't stand for what's right, to stand for what's right. He expects us, in the face of being mistreated for having doing so, to believe that the Lord is behind us. And I'd rather stand in the face of this whole world being against me with the Lord behind me than to stand with my face against the Lord, wouldn't you? I tell you, I'd rather stand with him behind me. Whenever I read the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, I don't read anywhere where the Lord has told us that we have anything to cover our back, and it's because we don't need anything there. The Lord has got our back. And I want to tell you tonight, whenever we stand for what's right, and whenever we declare those things which are true, that are true, the Lord has got your back. You hear me? We're like the boys in the days of Daniel, when Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, the scripture tells us that whenever they faced what they were going to face, whenever they faced that fiery furnace, that they said that the Lord will deliver us. And I want to tell you, whether it be in death, it's a deliverance unto the presence of the Lord, or whether it be in life, he delivered them in life. The Lord is going to look after us. There's purpose in the preaching of the gospel today. Hey, for the edification of the body of Christ, that you be encouraged in your walk of the Lord. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. I'm going to tell you, Jesus don't need you to straighten him out. Whenever it talks about making something straight, don't you think that the Bible is telling us that the preaching is sent so that Jesus' ways will be straight? I want to tell you, Jesus' ways is just right. It's our ways that need to be straightened out so that we can align with him. Whenever we see that there's something that needs to be changed. It ain't God's word, it ain't God, and it ain't his ways. It's us that need to make some changes. And John the Baptist was sent unto a people, and they didn't want to hear what he said, but he didn't let their not wanting to hear change the truth that he tried to preach unto them. Remember one time I heard Elder E.W. Hooven preach, and I know a lot of you that are here tonight know him. Brother E.W. doesn't strike me as a man that's scared of a whole lot. Does he strike y'all that way? You know, he was a fireman in his secular occupation for a long time and waded into areas that a lot of us would run from. Those emergency workers, they go towards they go towards that which we run away from. And I remember very well, I was sitting over there to his right, and he looked over there at me, and it's been a few years ago, and he said, Brother Will, you preach this word even to the gritting of the teeth, to the people who are hearing you. It doesn't matter how much they want to hear you. It is that the Lord has sent for his truth to be preached. And I tell you, John the Baptist was a courageous man. Scripture tells us that he stood in the face of Herod's brother Philip, and he told him, he said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother Philip. So it's not right for you to have it. Now, did he, under the guise of being of having his head removed, because that was the conclusion of the matter,
did he turn and compromise that truth because of the verdict that he was going to face and because of the judgment that was going to come forth? Or did he just say, I'm here to declare the ways of the Lord, to make your path straight? And I tell you right now, there's some things that we need to straighten out. And it doesn't mean I'm talking about straightening out the church. You know me, I trust that you know and love me more than that. Here tonight, I want to tell you the church that the Lord gave and the way that he gave it, I want to tell you, he gave it just right. And his ways are right. And even though this world may look at it as being backwards, these ways that the Lord gave, these simple practices of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't need to add anything to them. We just need to do what the Lord told us to do a little better. We need to sing a little louder. We need to pray a little harder. We need to wear out our knees a little bit more. I tell you, we need to declare the things and rejoice in the things of the Lord a little bit more. Now, that's just one thing. That's about 10 of them here in these verses. How long y'all want to stay here tonight? I'm just kidding, by the way. I won't do that. But he established his purpose in the ministry of Jesus here in these verses in his preaching. Scripture tells us that in his preaching, he also told why the ways of Jesus are better. See, in verse 5, he says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Now what he's really saying here, and by the way, verse 6 follows right up on that, he says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What he's really telling us there is if we'll do what's right, we'll have a smooth, easy sail right on through this life. Is that what he's saying? You know, we have a hymn in our hymn book. I believe it's in there. I don't know if it's in these new ones or not. But God has not promised. The sky is always blue. And he had. But I want to tell you what John the Baptist is telling them during the transition of this dispensational time from the old to the new. That what Jesus is about to bring in is better than what you had in the old. Do you believe that tonight? Would you, brother, if you had your choice tonight, somebody were to say you have the option tonight to go back to the Old Testament law service, or you have the option to continue under the New Testament service tonight, what are you going to choose? I'm going to tell you, I choose the New Testament every time. I choose the knowledge that the Lord has blessed us to be able to have during this dispensation of time. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that God having provided some better thing for us is what the Scripture tells us. And the book of Hebrews is all about why the New Testament is better. He didn't speak negatively about the old. He's just telling us that we have it better here in the New Testament. That the Lord Jesus Christ, that he had a more excellent ministry, that he became mediator of a more perfect covenant, which was established upon better promises. And those are the things that Jesus did for us. In the Old Testament, there was the high priest that could go into the holiest of all one time a year. But I want to tell you, through the work and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that veil was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and you have access into the holiest of all to be able to go to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the New Testament dispensation. Is that not a great blessing tonight? I want to tell you, the valley should be filled, and the mountains should be brought low, and the crooked should be made straight. And I want to tell you, those things that he's speaking of are not telling us that everything's always going to be easy. It just means here in the New Testament, we have a better access to Jesus than what they had in the old. Hey, did it mean that Jesus was not there in the old? Oh no, Jesus has always been around. He's eternal. The Son is eternal. We believe in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been and he will always be. But because of the knowledge of the things that Jesus taught and the things that Jesus established that John the Baptist is speaking about here, you and I have a more blessed opportunity here in the New Testament church to be able to have access unto God in the truth. Hey, are you not thankful to be able to know that you have a mediator in heaven tonight? That there's a daysman betwixt us. Old Job said, oh, that there were a daysman betwixt us. I want to tell you, there's somebody between you and God tonight. And he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And I want to tell you, the Scripture tells us that we have access unto the Father through him. And that we pray in his name so that we may be able to have someone that would go forth. You know, I remember whenever I was a child. And I'd need something from Daddy. And you know, now that I think about it, it ain't that much different now. whenever I need something from Daddy, Mama always had a way of getting that a little bit better than I did. I could go to Mama. I brought home a few grades in my days that had to have a signature on them whenever I took them back the next day. And That was a pretty tough task and a pretty tall thing to do. I don't know if y'all ever had that problem or if y'all made straight A's all along, but I wasn't one of those, I can tell you that. And I can remember, if I could just get to my mama, if I can just get to my mama before he gets to me, then surely I'll have someone between me and him. And I want to tell you, whenever it comes to God the Father, you have a loving Savior between you and him. You have one that whenever he looks upon you, he doesn't see you for your sins. He sees you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have access to that. And you're blessed here in the New Testament to know that blessed truth tonight. That you're judged in the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I want to tell you, it's not limited anymore to just the Jews. I'm thankful that the Gentiles were grafted in. I believe with every ounce of my being that because of the rejection of the Messiah that the Jews gave him whenever he came on the scene, that the Lord said, if you won't praise me, I'll find the people that will. And he grafted the Gentiles in, and all flesh is able to see the salvation of God. I tell you, I'm thankful that the Gentiles are able to see the salvation of God. I've done a little bit of research myself into genealogy. And whenever I got that DNA result back, not one of them passed through Israel. I'm going to tell you that. Every bit of it is just as Gentile as it can be. And I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed us here as the Gentile people to be able to rejoice in the promises of God. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. I tell you what, that angered the Jews when they heard that. But I tell you, I rejoice in that tonight. Nothing would make me rejoice more than for more of the children of God to see the salvation of God. I would that those that have been touched by the Spirit of God and they're born again and spend all their days here in this world trying to fulfill a law so that they can go home to be with God, would, as the Apostle Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. I would that those that have a zeal of God would have some knowledge about what the Lord had done for them and that all flesh would see the salvation of God. I tell you, I believe I see God's salvation tonight. And if I'm wrong about it, I want somebody to show me where I'm wrong. But I want to tell you what I believe, that something speaks down and deep down in my soul that I've seen the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for what it is. And I've seen the salvation of God. And in seeing the salvation of God, I've been saved myself from a lot of things here in this world. I tell you, I believe I've been saved from a lot of erroneous doctrines that may tell me that God didn't save me, that He's waiting on me to save myself. But because I've seen the salvation of God, I rejoice tonight in what He did for me. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. John the Baptist preached the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and how things are better under the New Testament dispensation. He prepared them for the things that were to come. He preached the judgment of Jesus. Preached the judgment of the Lord. You know, some people may hear us preach what we believe in regards to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And about the love of God and how there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. And that's true tonight. Don't let anybody ever tell you that if you do something that God's going to quit loving you. But any of us, if we were asked in regards to our own children, could they do anything that would ever make us stop loving them, that we can answer yes to that? And how much greater is God's love for us than our love for our children? It doesn't matter whether or not they're doing right or wrong when it comes to His love. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There's not an action that we may take. The end of Romans chapter 8 establishes everything that could be considered in regards to the love of God and reminds us again that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the reason why that it can't be separated is because it's in Jesus. You see, if that love was based upon something that we did, it stands true that we could undo it and Him not love us anymore. But because that love is in Jesus, that love is established in a person that does not change. And because that is true, His love for us is eternal. But the Scripture tells us whenever we speak of those things and people hear it, that must mean that we could just do any old thing we wanted to and live any old way we want to. That the Lord's not going to do anything about it. You know, I had a deacon back where I used to serve. He went home to be with the Lord in 2017, but he was the only one among his family that belonged to our people. He had to defend our doctrines on a regular basis. And he said that he always had family members telling him, if I believe what y'all believe, I'd just go live any old way I wanted to. He said, you know, I finally got enough of him telling me that. He said, you know, I finally asked him, what is it that you want to do so bad? That you believe that in so doing, that it's going to mean that you have to go to hell. What is it that you want to do so bad? I'll tell you what, if we understand correctly about what we believe, it doesn't make us want to go live any old way. What it makes us want to do is obey God more because of what He did for us. That's our motivation. Our motivation is not a fear of hell, because the Bible doesn't tell us anywhere to fear Him. Hell. Fear Him which is able to do it, not that place. And the Bible here tells us that the Scripture says that these came forth to Him whenever He was preaching the baptism of repentance and remission of sins. There came a multitude of Him, and I tell you, He looked them right in the eye. He says in verse 7, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Ooh. Has anybody ever been told that when they come forward for acceptance of the membership of Cool Springs? No, I don't believe so. I believe that the Lord delivered us from having to do such things by keeping the church simple. You know, the simple ways of the church turn away the carnal minds of the world. We understand that. The Lord looked after us whenever He kept it a simple place. We don't have a whole lot of room in the simple ways of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for a puffed up heart and mind. And we don't have a lot of room for ones that are looking to promote themselves. You know, I had somebody ask me one time that they traveled around and sang at different churches. They sang song specials at different churches. And he began to ask me about the church I served. And he said, do y'all have song specials there? I said, every one of them. I said, every one of them. You know, the way he worded it, he said, do y'all have special singers there? And I said, every single one of them. And I will tell you, every song that we sing is a special song. You know, whenever you consider the way we do it, it's just a common way. Removes the possibility of someone trying to do something to promote themselves. But here they came, this generation of vipers. And I tell you what John the Baptist told them, is bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And he reminded them that the axe is laid unto the foot of the tree. And I want to tell you what he's telling them is that the Lord can come forth with some judgment and He can take that tree down. And oh, did not the Lord remove the tree there towards the end of His ministry whenever there was no fruit on it? And if you and I don't learn from that in our walk with the Lord, that is that if we don't bring forth fruit worthy of the Lord to be able to feed on, that He can take and remove us from such a place in His kingdom so that He can go and give the blessings that you and I have in this world to someone who's willing to bring Him what He's worthy of being able to receive. He spoke about the judgment of Jesus. I want to tell you, whenever we think that we can just do anything in this old world and live any old way and just get away with it, I want to tell you the Scripture tells us differently. And that we believe in a God of judgment tonight, and John the Baptist preached about it and told them. He said, there's, and now the axe is laid unto the foot of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. I think that's pretty plain, isn't it? You know, there's some verses in the Bible where somebody has to tell you what it doesn't mean to confuse you in order for us to not conclude exactly what he's saying. What he's saying is true. And that is that the Lord has authority to cut down the tree. And I tell you, the Lord has that authority. You know, sometimes whenever we try to take that authority upon ourselves, we can make a mistake. The Lord will manifest whenever He's done it. He'll make it known. And here He's speaking about the judgment of Jesus. We read about the purpose of preaching in Jesus. We read about the blessings that we have and the better way that we have in the New Testament dispensation of Jesus. We read about the judgment of Jesus and the preaching of John the Baptist. We read about the works of Jesus. You know, here He says, whenever He came to them, that these ones asked Him some questions. You see, when Jesus and John the Baptist here in this case, a lot of times we need to remember that when they were preaching, that there were wicked men there that heard them preach. You remember in John chapter 8, when Jesus was preaching, He was preaching to an audience of children of God and the wicked. He knew who they were. You and I don't know who they are, but I will tell you, He knows everyone that is His, and He knew that there were some there that were not His. Because He told them, you're the father of the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do, in John chapter 8. But at the same time, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, are those two statements ones that are directed to the same group of people, or are those two different groups of people? Well, they're two different groups of people. Well, here you read that whenever John the Baptist reminded them about the judgment coming forth from the Lord, we read that they came and they asked Him, what should we do? Verse 10 says, and the people asked Him, what shall we do then? John the Baptist answered and said, He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. You know, if you remember, if you go over to Matthew chapter 25, you can read that the works of the righteous were that whenever there were those that were hungry, Jesus said, when I was hungry, you gave me meat, is what he said. We read here in these verses about the works of Jesus, about the compassion of Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is compassionate tonight? I believe he is. I believe he looks upon us whenever we need a warm coat upon our shoulders. Whenever we need to feel the warmth of the Lord. You know, I'm one that I like to get up early in the morning and read. And nothing aggravates me more than for there to be ceiling fans going on real early in the morning. for all that cold air to be in the house whenever you're around there in the morning. And I suppose if some of you saw me like that, you'd probably think I looked odd. I go grabbing every blanket I can get my hands on so that I can get it wrapped around. But I want to tell you, that's talking about a natural warmth. But I want to tell you, there's been times whenever this world has been cold to me. And whenever they've rejected me. And I tell you, just as the Bible tells us that they rejected the Lord, they're going to reject us at times. But praise be unto the Lord that whenever we receive the chill of this world, we can receive the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be compassionate unto us because he's a compassionate Lord. And these ones asked him, they said, what do we do? I'm going to tell you what we can do is we can behave like Jesus. The publicans came to him and said unto him, Master, what we should do. And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. Think about whenever we talk about the works of Jesus. Think about the compassion of the Lord. We think about the honesty of the Lord and the upright way in which he walked. These ones reminded us of what we're supposed to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He even asked the soldiers, asked him, what should they do? He told them to be content with your wages. And we speak about works of the Lord, compassion of the Lord, the honesty of the Lord, the contentment of the Lord. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, whenever we consider all these things and these series of questions that they asked, and I'm winding this down, stay with me. We got one more thing we're going to mention to you, and we're going to close down. The ministry and the preaching of John the Baptist, he said that he came forth preaching these things, and many other things preached, exhorted unto them. He preached the purpose of his ministry. He preached the New Testament dispensation being a better walk with Jesus. He preached the judgment of the Lord. He preached the works of the Lord. And so doing, remind us about the compassion and the honesty and the contentment in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, he reminded them, if you're going to do these things, here's some things that you need to do. You know, John the Baptist, he not only spoke of things that they shouldn't be doing, he reminded them of things that they should be doing. You believe there's some things that we need to be doing in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? You know, I believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that whenever he cried, it was finished on the cross of Calvary. I believe everything that was required for our eternal salvation was done in him. Therefore, you can sit back and not do a thing here the rest of your life. You know, nothing, you know, whenever it comes to our eternal home in heaven, that's true. But when it comes to our service in him, make no mistake about it, there's some things that we need to be mindful of. We need to be mindful to be compassionate like Jesus was, to be honest like Jesus was, to be content. You know, the Bible tells us, that the Scripture tells us that the birds of the air have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. You know, whenever we think about our works in our life and what we're working towards, are we working toward being more content or working towards trying to get more and more in this world? You know, I like what the preacher said one time, I never have seen a U-Haul behind headed to the cemetery at the time of burial. Have you? I'm going to tell you, you can't take any of it with you. It's all going to be left behind. May the Lord bless us with the things that we have in Jesus and be content with them. You know, all these things John the Baptist preached. And whenever we come down to it, what John the Baptist was doing, see, whenever he preached these things unto them, they thought he was the Christ. You know, it moved them in such a way. You know, sometimes this day and time, I like to tell people, you know, be careful when you talk to people that believe that they were born again when they heard the gospel. when they heard about Jesus, that they believed that they were born again. They're wrong. You're right. That's not correct. In order for them to hear the gospel, they must have already been born again. In order for them to rejoice in the truth, they ought to already have life. But you know, they were moved in such a way when they heard about Jesus that it changed them and affected them. And you need to be tender with somebody like that, because it touched them in a way, and you can do more harm a lot of times than good whenever you speak to them. You know, when these ones heard John the Baptist preach, could they have been any more wrong to look at him and say, is he the Christ? He was not the Christ. The preaching of John the Baptist didn't point them to John the Baptist. He pointed them to the one that came after him. There cometh one after me, is what he says, whose shoe I am not worthy to unloose. See, he didn't point people to himself. If you'll remember, whenever the ones came to John the Baptist to try to mock him, they came and they said, they're all leaving you and they're going over there where Jesus is. John the Baptist, that didn't bother him at all, because he knew that one that came after him had preeminence over him. And I want to tell you, whenever it comes to why we're here tonight, and all these things that we've heard, make no mistake about it, they're not to point you to Brother Will. They're not to point you to anybody else. They're to point you to the one that cometh after me. And I want to tell you, he's coming again. And just as he was promised to come the first time, he's coming back the second time. And if the Lord will bless the preaching of the gospel, what it will do is it will make you look to the coming of the one after me. I'll tell you, he's coming again. And he's only coming one more time. Bible tells us that he was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto us that look to him shall he appear a second time without sin unto salvation. I believe whenever he returns again out of those clouds with a voice, with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, I don't believe his feet will touch this old marred earth again. I believe he'll call us up there where he is, don't you? You know, I just desire to go up where he is. Is that what your desire is tonight? To be able to be closer to the one that cometh after us? The one that has already come one time and he's coming again? And I tell you, he's one that's mightier than I. He's one whose shoe latch it I'm not worthy to unloose, because I want to tell you, he redeemed his family. Every single one of them whom he was sent to redeem are bought and paid for. And he's coming to pick up what he paid for. Every single one of them. John the Baptist pointed us to Jesus. Preaching of the gospel does anything else here in this world today, it's not doing what it was sent to do. It's to point us to Jesus. And this is the preaching of John the Baptist. May the Lord bless us to rejoice in these same old things that have been preached since this day, and continue to preach them until the Lord returns again. I thank you for the time, sweet attention tonight.